are you doing this evening? We're going to go ahead and start this meeting. We're a few minutes late, we're waiting for one more guest, but he hasn't arrived yet. So I think we're going to do is move forward, get some of our normal stuff out of the way. If the gentleman has arrived by then, we'll go on to one of our other items, but when they get in, you might see us swap the schedule around a bit. So we'll be starting the meeting tonight at 6:02. Everybody, please rise, show me with a pledge of the flag, and a moment of silence afterwards. Thank you.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You never know after a moment of reflection if somebody's going to yell out, "Play ball!" Roll call, please, and acknowledgement of guests.
Good evening, everybody. Roger Rice, Deputy Superintendent for Student Services, and with us this evening to help us through the LCAP item are Mr. Brett Taylor, Principal of Triton Academy, Mr. Aaron Burke, currently a teacher at Providence, but newly appointed principal starting July 1 at our East County Special Education site, so congratulations and welcome on that. And also Ms. Emily Mossavoy, our Executive Director of Special Education.
Did you miss Mr. Dominguez?
I get to do
it. She wants to talk. She never gets to talk. We had that prearranged.
I figured there was a method to that.
Good evening. Misty Keeley, Associate Superintendent of Fiscal and Administrative Services. I'd like to introduce Tom Edgart here in support of our public hearing of our budget tonight.
And boy, do we have questions for you tonight.
Valerie Christman, Associate Superintendent, Educational Services, and I'm very pleased to introduce you to Dr. Carlos Dominguez, who is sitting right between Brett and Aaron, and he is the Director of Regional and District School Support, but has also been on Roger's special LCAT team.
So not only do we have a good set of bookends here, we got a good library in the middle.
Right.
Good evening, I'm Marty Bates. I represent Area 2, which is primarily the Caneo Valley area, plus Oak Park. And I would like to introduce everybody else in the room.
Dean Kinnickey, Area 4, Simi Valley, Moore Park.
Stan Mantu, County Superintendent of Schools. I would point out Ms. Mary Samples, our Assistant Superintendent, the SELPA there in the third row. And my Executive Assistant on my far left tonight, Ms. Nancy Ackerman.
Mark Fisigor. Good evening, Ramon Flores, Trustee 3F5.
At this time, we'll move on to item 3, which is approval of the agenda, and I will ask whoever makes the approval to add a statement in there that we're going to be a little lackadaisical on the agenda tonight based on when our guest from Fort Whitney and Navy Base gets here.
Do I have an approval of the agenda?
I move for approval of agenda as adjusted as we go through the meeting.
Second.
First from Mr. Bates, second from Dr. Flores. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No abstentions. Public comments. Any public comment cards? No. All right. Normally we move on to C1 right now, but our guest isn't here yet. So let's move on to our next item. Let's go to item F. Item D, we have no other hearings, so we have no closed session. Item F, approval of minutes of regular meeting of May 26th. Do you have any corrections or a move for approval?
Motion to approve as changed based on a conversation that I had with Nancy.
Would you share that with the board?
No, just that there was a mistake in the name.
Oh, okay. That, all right, so it's just
which has been corrected in the packet?
No, not in the package, but Nancy has corrected.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
Second.
First by Mr. Bates, second by Dr. Lissagor. Roll call vote on this, please, Mr. Bates.
Aye.
Mr. Lissagor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I abstain. I assume one of you gentlemen is Mr. Edelson.
Hi, sir. I apologize for the tardiness.
No problem. Come on down to the main deck here. We're going to go ahead, seeing that we just went ahead and approved our minutes at item F, we're going to go ahead and backtrack now to item C. This is our educational partnership agreement with Naval Facilities Engineering and Expeditionary Warfare Center out of Fort Wainimi. This will be an information and action item. Commander, you want to come sit down here, please?
Sure.
He's a captain. Can't believe
by act of Congress and signature of the President.
I can't believe captains are so young.
I will do the honors along with yourself.
Okay.
And just say welcome, Captain.
Thank you.
And it's with both pride and conviction that we enter into another agreement with Naval Base Ventura County. The board might recall that on January 26th, we executed an agreement with the Naval Surface Air Warfare Center, overseen by Captain Cord Ruby, I believe. I know there's the characters on the stage are always changing every 3 years or so. And tonight, we anticipate entering into an education partnership agreement with Naval Facilities Engineering and Expeditionary Warfare Center, Fort Wainimi. And I know it's an acronym-filled world that is your world, and we're very pleased to do this on behalf of the students that we serve and that now we will jointly be serving with Naval Base Ventura County. As we speak, I believe there are a little more than 30 students at a STEM camp experiencing a number of commands on the base.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. That's a great experience and a wonderful partnership, and we look forward to more of the same. We do have a document in your packet that we would like to, if we may, Mr. Kanicki and Captain Nadelson.
Can you do that?
Yep.
Step around the comments and board.
Absolutely. But we'll do a little ceremony at the podium and get some pictures.
If approved, that'd be great.
And any comment you yourself would like to make.
We're getting to see you guys every year. We appreciate it. You're our neighbor, we're your neighbor, and I think we're all in the same boat, pulling on the same oar, no pun intended.
Dr. Flores, this is your area up there at the Naval Base. Did you have anything particular you wanted to share with the captain? Anything you wanted to say about this particular agreement we're entering into today?
A few words, if I may. As I mentioned at our meeting in January, I'm currently an engineer with the Naval Surface Warfare Center, Boeing Division, so it was my honor to make a motion to approve the Education Partnership Agreement. But what my colleagues might not know is a few years prior to that, I was an engineer with the Naval Civil Engineering Lab, which became the Naval Facilities Engineering Service Center, which became now EXWIC, and I do keep track of the acronyms. These are the types of partnership agreements that I've been trying to pursue personally as a private citizen, as an engineer, as a civil servant of the base. So when I saw that we were formalizing these agreements from this board to PhD, this board to EXWIC, that's fantastic news. Again, I've been an engineer 20 plus years. I've known Mr. Macias 20 plus years. So again, when I saw the agenda item, I thought this is fantastic. It's a win-win. Again, private citizen, I'm a member of Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers. Mr. Macias is familiar with that organization. We do a lot of these types of function as volunteers on our own time. A lot of works that we put out. We just put one on for middle school kids at Frank Middle School. So the fact that we can formalize these agreements, bring the capacity that this office brings, which is, Captain, if you don't know, it's phenomenal. I call it an educational think tank. With the staff at EA at XWIC, again, having been a full engineer there, I'm very familiar with their capacity. So again, I think it's a win-win situation.
How can I add to that?
I know, tough.
Not being an engineer, really pleased that this is happening.
Mr. President, Dr. Forrest made a motion, and as the only veteran of the United States Navy, I'd like permission to second it.
Well, I have Navy rank.
Pardon me?
I have Navy rank.
I'm sure we can accommodate that.
I know.
Definitely.
No fighting up here, guys.
We'll proceed to Mr. Bates.
You guys can't get along. I'm sending one of you off. Well, listen, I said this when we interviewed our first agreement with your base, and I'll repeat it again. You know, children nowadays growing up, and some of what we're trying to do in career technical education, not every student's going to decide they want to move to college. Some are, and some are going to consider military careers. they don't realize there's other stuff out there besides bang bang, shoot them up. And to have you as a neighbor in the county here, one of our biggest employers, and having such a huge presence here, for us to partner with you, just takes us to another level that we hope to bring you to on our end. Not that you're not at the level you need to be, but to understand some of what we're doing here, it is cutting edge. I mean, when you consider our grade levels on down, some of the programs we've instituted, looking at the future, drone programs, robotic programs, 3D printer programs, you know, all that stuff that's coming up, we're trying to be a little cutting edge on that. And these kind of partnerships are just going to get us there quicker. I mean, we'll eventually get there, but none of us up here like to get there slow. So again, we really appreciate this interaction between our agency and your agency, and I'm hoping we'll get some reports back down the road as to how it's progressing. You got one of our best staff to work with. So I think it's going to be a successful program. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Mr. President, thank you for the reference, because I'd be remiss if we didn't mention that Dr. Tiffany Morris has been the point person in
yes.
Effecting these agreements and partnerships under our Career Pathways Trust. So,
is there anything
else? Is there a motion on the floor?
There's a motion on the floor from Dr. Flores to approve, and a second from Mr. Bates. And we'll do a roll call vote on this, please, starting with Dr. Flores.
Yes.
Dr. Whistler?
Aye.
Mr. Bates?
Aye.
And I'm I also, and unfortunately, we have one board member who's out of town, so that will be an abstention. So be it, it passes. Onward and upward.
May I ask you, gentlemen, to come to the podium. And Mrs. Key,
absolutely.
As many as you like. Mrs. Key, bring your camera.
Paparazzi, we're in trouble.
You shall come.
All right.
We'll sign both.
Off into the distance into the future, right? Yeah. Thank you very much.
So we have two board members in the center. You have
the thanks for all your support. Absolutely. All right. And I do a lot of these take with the left, shake with the right now. I wonder what happens to them.
Oh, yeah, social media.
Ah, there's that.
At least in the last decade, the community has
that's right.
We live in the community. It's part of it's where our houses are, where our children go to school. So where we grew up, many thanks to Kale for leading this with you to develop it. We noted. We want some of those students. And on the day that we're signing, we have 33 students learning about water production, expeditionary energy, and high strength concrete. So, we've got 100. Just my command alone, we have 150 vacancies right now. Most of those, engineers, and we cannot fill them.
We're in the same problem with teams.
Yeah, the nation has recognized that we can't develop engineers and scientists. We lose our economic standing, we lose our defense standing in the world, we lose our world. So whether it's this or Kale just secured a grant from ONR to hire freshmen and sophomores at the junior colleges. And today we brought aboard 9 Home Pathway students. They're juniors and seniors in college. They can spend the summer with us, earn a little bit of money, and work beside our folks. So, there's from the youngins to anyone who's not ready to the job market, we want to do our part as well.
I understand years ago, I had a chance to do
this.
just wondering if somewhere down the road after our whole team is that, if we could do something like that, if we could do something like that. And vice versa, but that you guys have already had them come down to it all up.
Well, you've got so many of them, too, that I do it all up.
As a matter of fact, I need to get the particular ones in the city.
Good, good. I think that's, and what the EDP allows us to do now, you know, it's a lot easier to do those outreaches and say, come on board, or get us on board to your campus, and so.
Well, if you know anybody else in your position that wants to get on board, it would please sound like.
All right, well, I think, you know, we sent copies around to everybody, so the other worker center on the base is the Air Worker Center, so I suspect they will be next to present.
Does he know about our students building their own 40-millimeter howitzer?
No. Well, not only thank you, but thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. The pleasure we have.
Thank you very much.
Mine, yes, yes.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
About the rest of you, but I'm ready to close the meeting. Somebody's good then than I know. Okay, we're going to move on to our next item. Mr. Manthu, did you want to make any comments on the correspondence under item B, or
let
it speak for itself?
I believe the correspondence speaks for itself. You will note the letter from the Ventura County chapter of the NAACP, as well as my considered response.
Right. Very good. President and board members' reports, Mr. Bates.
Nothing.
Just want to report out that I had a chance to attend the Gateway High School graduation. Again, thank you to Mr. Matthews for the invitation. Mr. Matthews, like 12 or 15 graduates?
12.
It's pretty helpful.
Yes. 13, I think.
Thank you.
Including GED.
And the smiles from the parents, which is unbelievable. That's all. It makes this work very important for us. Again, thank you for the invitation.
And the only thing I got, I happen to start my week off up in Sacramento this morning, and I was telling Mr. Manthu, it's amazing walking through the corridors up there. The big giddiness today was how happy they were that they passed the budget, which was followed immediately by comments of they thought they're going to stop our pay. Because, as you know, the new law that's in effect now, if they don't pass the budget by today, they don't get paid. So they were taking care of their pocketbook, yet it's an incomplete budget. It's still sort of all over the place. There looked like some high notes in what I saw for education. We'll see if that all pencils out all the way through once it gets through the government. That's all I have at this time. Superintendent's report.
Actually, I just want to make a comment.
Please.
About the graduations. We still have some upcoming, as you can see from item H1. This is all part of 29 separate celebratory events. And again, I would encourage the board in the coming, you know, this next week and in the coming year, please make it a priority to attend these events. Our staff and our students would really appreciate seeing board members attend as well as the staff. And I have no superintendent's report this evening.
All right, legislative reports.
Mr. President, just one small item, kind of piggybacking on your comments about the budget. Just want to remind the board that Assembly Member Jackie Irwin had put in a budget request for starting up an engineering program on Calcasieu Channel Islands. It was positive, so I'm going to hear some good news that will go through when they are looking to start. I believe it's going to fall on the floor.
Great. Anything else from any other board member?
No.
Councilor Stein? See no consent action items. We're going to move on to item L, discussion information and public hearing on the Ventura County Office of Education Local Control Accountability Plan.
Yes, and I am going to cede this to Dr. Rice, who not only the team members that he introduced tonight, but he himself has really done a yeoman's job and a lot of heavy lifting on this document.
Thank you for that, Mr. Manthu. This year has been a challenge, even more so than last year, I would say, just simply because of the changing template and the new requirements to conduct an annual update of how we did on our LCAP from last year, and it's the first time we've had to do that. So all what I wanted to do this evening is just draw your attention to the PowerPoint. And for the audience, there are screens up here, and the board and the staff will probably be eyeballing those, and you can eyeball the screens up on the wall here, and walk you through a little bit about the background and the process, just very briefly on the background. I know you're familiar with most of this, but I wanted to point out that if you're interested in reading the Ed Code and you can't sleep one night, it starts on 520.66 and runs through 520.077, and it started last year. The essential elements are detailed on pages 6 through 8 in terms of the meaningful stakeholder engagement, and I encourage you to look through those pages because it details a fairly robust process for gaining that stakeholder engagement. I believe it ended up that we had roughly 577 stakeholder engagement pieces of input by way of survey. So that's quite a bit when you consider that our parents are many times, we are very challenged to get their input, and yet we had 577 students, parents, teachers, classified employees, administrators, community members from all different kinds of agencies, mental health, Ventura County probation, and so on. And that's detailed on pages 6 through 8. The LCAP requires that local educational agencies increase and improve services that are aligned towards, and they are aligned to our 5 goals, which are detailed in the 15-16 LCAP, which I'll run through in a minute, that we demonstrate progress towards local goals over time, and that we develop a 3-year plan, but we need to review that plan annually. It's also laid out in 3 different sections. Section 1 is the stakeholder engagement piece, which I referenced a minute ago, pages 6 through 8. Section 2 is the 15-16 LCAP and the annual update, which is a part of Section 2 on the 14-15 LCAP, which would indicate how we did on those goals and actions and services. And then Section 3, which Ms. Key can address with you if you have any questions, that's referencing the fiscal requirements of the LCAP and doing the proportionality calculation related to the spending of the supplemental and concentration grants. So you've seen this slide before, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention real quick. These are the 10 areas of state priority, 8 of which are applicable to school districts and county offices, 8 of which are applicable to school districts, 2 of which in the middle, coordinating services for expelled youth and foster children, are applicable to county offices only. So in other words, districts have 8 priorities and county offices have 10. Those priorities are accompanied by metrics that we are required to report on, and you can see, for example, in the box on your handout, it won't show up too well on the slide unless you turn and look at the big screen, but in your book you can see the full page slide that has the required metrics that we are being asked to collect based on the performance of our students. What I would say about that is our efforts to incorporate all of these metrics are included in your LCAP, and let me share with you where that is. That is a matrix at the back of the LCAP starting on page 87. And I wanted to take a minute to point out what that document is because it's a little different. Because the LCAP requires us to set goals and for the students that we serve directly, which are mainly the court and community school students, it should be fairly obvious, and the state has accepted our rationale, that many of the metrics don't apply to us. Like, for example, the code talks about a middle school graduation rate, a high school graduation rate, but the method that those two metrics employ are antithetical to the way we operate. In other words, they require a 4-year cohort. Well, we don't have 4-year cohorts. We don't keep kids for 4 years in those programs. So
there would be no meaningful way to incorporate those into our LCAP. So what we asked CDE about a year and a half ago was if it would be helpful to lay out the state required metrics that are on this slide into a grid where we delineate what the state priority is, what the required metrics are, where it can be found in our LCAP. That's the second column where it says, or third column where it says goal number. We also incorporated into this matrix if it were aligned to an expected measurable outcome, what expected measurable outcome that would align to, what page it can be found on, and then if there are any common or alternative metrics. So for example, rather than the graduation rate, we're using a failed placement rate, which basically says if we serve a kid at Gateway, do we effectuate a positive outcome for that student, meaning a GED, return to district with credits, or graduate that person. So we want to be held accountable, but we want to be held accountable for metrics that we have some influence over. So that's what this matrix is. So a typical timeline for an LCAP process would not begin in the spring. It should begin at the very beginning. And for us, starting in July of 2014, we established what we affectionately call the LCAP box, and that's housed on Debbie Lopez's desk, and it's a crate with a whole bunch of file folders, because we knew early on that it would be more effective to begin the process of documenting our efforts on the LCAP right from day one, July 1st of 2014. So when we put as an action in, to support the climate of a school, that we were going to keep our schools in safe and orderly condition, that we put a new roof on Gateway, that as soon as the new roof was put on Gateway, that we went to Misty and got the purchase order and stuck it in the box. That's just a real simple example. So every time we did something that was implementing an action or service listed in the LCAP, we immediately collected the evidence, put it in the box, so that when we did our annual review, it wouldn't be a chore to try to go back and remember everything that we did for a year. That's why I said we started the process back in July. But beginning in about March, we put together a data analysis and writing team. Some of the members are here. And that team was responsible for looking through the box, passing out the material, looking at our LCAP, and figuring out, well, how did we do on goal one? How did we do on goal two? How did we do on goal three? And everybody had an opportunity to weigh in, not just through the survey process, but also through a team meeting where we got a chance to check each other's thinking on these types of issues. So in addition to the team meetings, we conducted surveys that were done in person, on paper, on the web. We also set to work on understanding the new template, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. You can see here in the timeline that tonight's public hearing is listed as one of the essential elements in the timeline, and then we're hopeful that we can get the LCAP approved at next week's meeting, concurrent with the approval of the budget. So what you're seeing in front of you is a list of the members of the writing and data analysis team, and again, I'm terming it that way because that's not to exclude all the many pieces of input that we got from parents and classified employees and students and members of the community. But these are the people that sat with me to review the data that we collected and try to put it into some semblance of order. This is a list of just some of the stakeholder engagement meetings that we had, just to give you a flavor. We had, at every student services branch meeting, we talked about the LCAP, and we asked what folks were doing at the site to implement the goals, actions, and services that we put in our LCAP. We included it as an ongoing item at our bargaining unit consultations. The principals included it as an item at their faculty meeting agendas. We talked about it at our open house and back to school nights, and at several of the community's events and meetings that I will not detail. I'll let you read the rest of that. But we also had the survey posted online. So what I wanted to do was to call time out now and
leave that slide up there and point you in the direction of the LCAP itself, Section 2, page 47. Because Section 2, page 47, is where the annual review starts. And because it's new, and the board expressed the recognition that it was new, when we gave you a draft, you commented, hey, this doesn't look familiar, and we're going to have to take some time to go through it. I wanted to just spend a minute going through how it's laid out. You can see that on page 47, it starts off with the original goal from the prior year's LCAP, and you can see it's clearly labeled 14-15. So we listed the goal, which was to increase student achievement in core academic areas. The box to the right is where you check the related state and local priorities that that particular goal is seeking to address. Those priorities, in turn, if you put your thumb on that page, are listed on page 4 and 5 in the instructions to the LCAP. They are the same exact ones that you saw last year. Things like student achievement, keeping the school in good condition, and so on. Student engagement. And then below that, you're required to say whether that goal applies to all schools or just some. And most of ours, we put apply to all of our students. And then below that, there is a list of expected annual measurable outcomes. So, for example, if you look at page 47, item number 1 in the expected annual measurable outcome says we had a goal of having 95% of our teachers be appropriately credentialed and considered highly qualified as defined in the No Child Left Behind guidelines. And then over to the right is where you get to put how you did on that measurable outcome. And we surpassed it, and we had 100% of our teachers that were appropriately credentialed. So I'm not going to go through all of these, but I just wanted to share with you how it's laid out. So if you want to go back between now and next week, and you can see how we did on each of the discrete measures that we set out, what I thought we would do this evening is just share with you a few of the items that we felt strongly about, so you can know what our thinking is in terms of areas of strength and some areas for continued future growth, and then we would be open to answering questions. Some of the areas that I think we did really well on was, one was the number of students passing the KCIK. We went from 24 to 29. That's a 20% increase. You know, a few years ago, you may recall when maybe 5 years ago, where we were having single-digit students passing the KC, and we had zero scores that were in the proficient and above. That's completely turned around. I give a lot of credit to the amazing staff at Gateway School and their leader, Mr. Koenig. They're doing a wonderful job preparing the kids for the KC. Another area of strength would be that 40% of students enrolled in career tech ed classes. That exceeded our goal of 15%. If you remember at the last meeting, we talked about adjusting our goal because we expedited the enrollment in career ed classes, and we actually commandeered a few of the teachers that had low enrollment in the Career Education Center to teach students at Gateway. So whereas we were going in with a conservative goal of 15%, we actually achieved 40%, which we're really excited about. And now we're obviously then next year, when you read the 15-16 LCAP, our goal is going to be even more aggressive. So our goal ultimately is to have everybody at Gateway take career education classes. We decreased the number of failed placements, defined as those students returning to district without having remediated credits or having dropped out. We decreased that number by 35%. We had all the COE students are now able to access the technology they need, including the CASP testing centers. That was some wonderful work done by Misty Key and her staff in technology services, Steve Carr, Mitch Sue, and their whole staff. That whole staff did an amazing job not only installing and getting them to work, but just advising us on the kinds of technologies that we needed. We decreased the number of students who were classified as chronic absentees by 48%. We reduced suspensions by almost 50%.
Roger?
Yes, sir.
I can get the reduced suspensions at 49, because that's something you guys can control internally.
Yeah.
How the heck?
on item five, the increased chronic absenteeism, even though you've already done it, what tools are you using to do that?
Well, let me differentiate that between the attendance rate, because if I skip to the next slide, I'm going to fall on my sword and say we did not meet our goal for increasing the attendance rate overall. What we did is we did better at reducing the numbers of kids that have 20 or more unexcused absences. So we did a better job with the chronic absenteeism, but overall we didn't meet our goal on that. And there's probably a lot that can be attributed to. We increased the amount of counseling services and the outreach that we have to those students. But overall, we're still transporting kids from Oxnard and Simi Valley and Ojai, and these kids are not used to going to school at a 90% clip in their own neighborhoods, and then when they have to get on a bus and ride for an hour. It's a challenging dynamic, but if you were to look at the LCAP, one of the things that would pop out at you was the budgeted amount for student incentives for attendance was not spent. And so to me, that was an opportunity left on the table. So I've had conversations with the staff that, you know, if we budget X amount to provide incentives to meet a goal, and then we don't meet the goal, then were we all in? Did we do everything possible to meet it? And the team, all of us collectively said, well, no, we didn't. That's something we're going to have to do better on next year. So we did well with individuals, but on the whole, we didn't meet our goal. So the facilities, I think Paul Hansen and the whole staff does a great job. We did some really wonderful projects, not only at Gateway, but also at Penfield. And the facility inspection tool is meant to articulate the general wellness of the sites, and we got some increased scores in that. I'll let Misty talk a little bit more about it if you like, but in addition to the Gateway, we had substantive upgrades at Penfield School, where we basically gutted some of the rooms and just remodeled the whole place with tappable wall surfaces and new cabinets, and it's really a completely different environment there. We surpassed our professional development goals for positive behavioral support. I didn't put CHAMPS there because it's a proprietary name, but you all know that CHAMPS is the product that we've been using through Safe and Civil Schools organization, Randy Sprick and Susan Isaacs, who operate out of Oregon. And in addition to that, Ms. Mostovoy has been really pushing hard on making sure that all of our special education teachers and paraeducators are appropriately trained in nonviolent crisis prevention and intervention, NCPI, which trains our employees how to handle violent outbursts or to mitigate potential conflicts. And there was a lot of training if you look in your LCAP. Some of the areas where I think we really need to step up next year, I'm not sure exactly why this happened, and if I had an answer, maybe we would have had a better result. But we had fewer students taking the GED this last year. We set a goal of increasing the number of students passing the GED, but then we ended up having substantively fewer students even taking the test. So obviously, if there's fewer people taking the test, we're not going to probably increase the number of students passing it unless we really change the ratio proportion, and we didn't. So we're going to have to investigate that. One of the ways that we're trying to address that is by introducing the HISET exam as an alternative to the GED. You may remember Richard Urias and John Tarkany came to you and presented to you that we were adding that to the mix. We're hoping with more options, more kids might take advantage of that.
Dr. Rice, quick question on that.
Yes.
Could it be possible that we did not get as many students to take or go for the GED because we did not have as many students?
Yes, I have a little note here, declining enrollment, and underlined. It that could very well be. It could also be we're being more successful getting kids to graduate. It's hard to quantify. Yeah.
I think the whole point is I wouldn't see that necessarily negative all around.
No, I think what we want to do is maybe just re-benchmark, right? So we'll implement the HISET, and then we'll set some baseline data for this year and see how it goes, and then establish a more aggressive goal next year. We had a slight decrease in attendance. That's something that I already addressed, but I just want to assure you, the team, all of us, are committed to to getting in there and digging through the data and finding out why that happened. We're not sure how we can decrease the number of individuals who had lots and lots and lots of absences, which we did well, but overall we didn't increase the rate. So it tells you there may be students who have onesie, twosie absences more frequently than the students that have a whole lot of absences. We also did some digging in the nature of the disciplinary issues that we were dealing with to help on school climate and student engagement, and we found that a lot of the incidents were occurring during bus transportation time, so we wrote into the LCAP the need for extra supervision and at both Gateway and at Phoenix School, and so we incorporated that into the goals for next year. And then there was a strong need expressed for continued professional development in basically three areas. One, in implementation of the California standards. Two, in implementation of instructional technology. And three, in the area of English learners. So we actually have already contracted with curriculum and instruction with Valerie's branch for next year to schedule a number of days to have her content specialist go out and work with our teachers again to keep that role. The teachers really expressed that they felt that that was valuable and they liked it quite a bit. And on that note, I just wanted to point out one more thing on the annual update. If you go to page, at the end of every goal, starting on page 60, this is where I think the meat of the LCAP is for the annual update. The intent of the LCAP is, I think, to implement a sustainable culture of never-ending improvement. It's not meant to be a compliance exercise. At least that's not how we're taking it. We're taking it as an opportunity to do some self-assessment and identify the areas where we can get better. So at the end of each goal, there's a box where it says what changes in actions and services and expenditures will be made as a result of reviewing past progress or changes in goals. We really took this to heart. So if you really want to know where we think we can do better and what we're going to change in our LCAP, and you just went to the annual update portion, which is from page 47 on, and looked at that box at the end of each goal, you will see what the team thinks about where we can do better and some of the changes we're going to try to put in place for the coming year. So our 15-16 goals remain the same, and they have to do with increasing student achievement, enhancing school safety, increasing collaboration and partnerships with the community-based agencies that support us, providing Ventura County expelled and foster youth with the best possible services we can. So those goals are not changed, but what will change is that we will take the input from the team and the annual update, incorporate that into these goals, and then change or revise the metrics. So if we, like for example, on the career tech ed goal, if our goal is 15% and we achieve 40, well then next year you're going to see a goal of 50 or 60. So we had to revise all of our metrics based on how we did last year, and then incorporate anything that you see in these boxes at the end of each goal into the new goals for the coming year. So I know that's kind of a kind of a long-winded explanation and however long that took me, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to go through the whole thing. But what I wanted to do is just give you a little background and an overview of the way things laid out, share with you a summary of where I think we've done well and where I think we can do better, and then open it up for questions and comments.
Questions for staff? Mr. Brady, just one question. And Dr. Brady, I think you alluded to this. So there are certain metrics that are defined, but in our cases were not applicable, where you annotated it's not applicable or you provided an alternative metric and presumably were accepted or acceptable?
Yes, that's correct. I don't think that's a blanket acceptance. You have to justify why it's not applicable to you. But I can tell you, when I go up and meet with my counterparts in Sacramento, what doesn't apply to us, it doesn't apply to Sacramento County Office or Modoc County Office, San Diego County. It doesn't apply to all of us because of the nature of the programs that we run. So last year when we saw that coming, we came up with this matrix and then shared it with our counterparts in the county offices, thinking that if we all were strong in saying these metrics don't apply to us, we're going to use this other one instead, that they might actually accept that, and they did.
Roger, just one quickie. If we look back at page 32, the last column, you got dollar amounts pegged to these things. Is that a state requirement or something you guys decided to do?
No, you are required to put dollar amounts, and what we did on page 32, which is the goal for next year, is it's an estimate. If you looked at the annual update on page 47, and then tracked back to the second column and the last column, you would see how the amount budgeted matches the amount spent. But for the new goals, we don't know that yet, so we re-benchmark based on what we spent this last year and put the estimated amount of what we think we would spend in that area. And then next year, when we do the annual update for this plan, it'll look the same as this annual update here. It'll say we budgeted $15,000, but we spent $12,000 or whatever we spent.
On the new goals you established for what you want to accomplish, were any of those picked apart by the state when you submitted, or did they accept it as was?
No, I think they felt we had a pretty good LCAP. And actually, from my perspective, it could have been better last year, but the timeline was so rushed and hurried, we didn't really start until the spring semester because nobody really knew what the expectations were. I think we did the best we could. I think this year's LCAP is more solid. We had a lot more eyes on it, not just the whole team here, but Misty Key and her staff worked on the fiscal part of it to make sure things lined up. Valerie, I was in her office constantly asking, is this okay? Is that okay? I got lots of good feedback from my colleagues, and they were extremely helpful. And Debbie Lopez was amazing as well, my assistant. But I can tell you, I couldn't even count the number of hours that went into the development of this, because just taking it from last year's template and putting it into this year's template was crazy enough. But then cross-referencing, if everything in the box at the end of the annual review, the things that we said were going to be different, actually got put into the 15-16 LCAP was really hard. And then of all the required metrics, were they all included? And if not, could we explain how? That was another step that was fairly challenging. And then for every goal, you're supposed to have an action and a service. So then if you had to go in and cross-reference to make sure that if you had a goal of having 100% of your teachers highly qualified, this is a real example, that doesn't just happen on the natural. And so we went through this thing 50 times, and then the 51st time we said, oh, we don't have an action or a service related to that. We just figure that's going to happen because we work hard and we care about what we do and we try to check. But there was no specific action or service related to achieving that end, so we had to change it and fix it. This is like at the 11th hour we were, because, and probably even still we could make it better.
Dr. Weiss, I think that's a very important point that you make, and I know you take this very, very seriously, but it was always designed to be an evolving process. And it's a living document, much like a budget. And it could change from week to week or day to day, which is why, as Roger pointed out, this is a continuous process that doesn't just happen in the spring or, early summer of each year. It's a year-long effort.
May I say something, Mr. President?
Of course, Valerie, please.
I have the pleasure of looking at a lot of LCAPs and all of our districts, along with Misty, and Carlos is involved with this as well, and also a lot of work at the state level with LCAPs. And when I asked CDE, we're creating a training for an example of a high-quality county LCAP that we could use for training purposes, he wrote back, and there were two, and Ventura County was one of them.
I'll say, did he tell you what journal?
Well, so what I want to say about our LCAP is that it is really a really, really well done document. And Roger and the team have just done an amazing job, and it's it's really nice to feel so proud of ours, because it's really a difficult thing to do, and they've done a stellar job.
And expensive.
They're expensive to do?
Yes. You spent a lot of hours and dollars.
Yes.
And
yes.
But you know, those kind of expenditures, Mr. Bates, I think, looking at what Roger's done in the past and what he's got labeled here with his staff into the future, setting these milestones and bars and goals and objectives, it gives clear-cut direction to all staff what he's trying to accomplish on behalf of the office. And my anticipation is that a year or two down the road, as we look back at this, we'll find out that investment was probably well-placed. Well,
and the costs will be reduced as we go further into it, because
we're learning our way on
we've
this.
Already done it.
Yeah, you know, they did the heavy lifting already on the first line. I guarantee you the second one will probably get a little easier if the legislators keep their nose out of it. Yeah, that was a great job. Great job. Any other questions to the staff on this? We have an item 1A there for a public hearing on the LCAP.
You would need to formally open the public hearing.
I'm going to do that. I just wanted to be sure in case there was any comments you wanted to make prior to that. We're going to go and open an L1A public hearing. Pardon me, we have a gnat here tonight. It's just making me crazy. He doesn't like Polish people.
I can understand that.
Yeah, I know you. public hearing, VCOE, LCAP. Do you have any comments on that, Mr. Mantu?
No, only that there is a statutory requirement that you open that for any potential input from the public at this time.
So we'll open the public hearing at almost 7 o'clock. We'll close the public hearing at almost 7 o'clock, seeing nobody in the audience wishing to testify in this. And we'll do a roll call vote on this, please. Dr. Flores.
Wait a minute.
I'm not sure this is an action item.
This is not an action item.
No.
Oh, you don't need to vote on this one?
No. This will be brought back at the meeting on June 22nd for a formal approval by the board.
Okay. The public hearing you just opened was item 1A?
1A, L1A.
All right, so we will open 2A later on.
Right.
Okay.
After that report. All right, we'll close down then, seeing that we've got that handled. Move item L2, public hearing on the 2015-16 County School Service Fund Budget Information and Discussion Item.
Just a couple of remarks before I turn this over to Mrs. Key. In your packet, you will not see what we like to refer to as our board-friendly, format that's been custom developed here for our purposes, but the required state forms for the budget that we must submit to Sacramento. But basically, they tell the same story in a little bit different format that we have been sharing with the board in our previous budget study sessions and our last budget study session, which included a brief review of all the funds and then a focus on some that we hadn't had before. And tonight, again, this is not an action item, but it is a requirement that you conduct a public hearing on the County School Service Fund budget, and that this would come back on the 22nd for potential approval subsequent to the approval of the LCAP. Mrs. Key?
Thank you, Mr. Mantu. As he pointed out, you have seen our budget extensively over the last three budget study sessions that we had. And also, as he pointed out, during the public hearing, it is required that we have these state forms, our budget in the state forms. And I'll just point out a few pages to familiarize you with the same information you've seen previously, but in the state format. So if you will turn to page 3 of item L2. The numbers are very, very tiny in the state forms. I apologize for that. But you should recognize some of the numbers. This form displays our total budget, the revenue for our general fund. On the far right column, you'll see that the total revenue is $98,834,175. That matches what you have seen previously. As I pointed out previously as well, we have our unrestricted budget in balance in our general fund. And our restricted budget is not in balance. We are spending more than we are bringing in revenue. And this is deliberate. As you recall, We are carrying forward funds. Specifically, the bulk of those funds that we are deficit spending is in the SELPA. We are designating to give those dollars back that we're carrying back to the school districts and spend them on the students for which we are holding them. So that's deliberate deficit spending. And unless you have any questions, I'm going to fast forward past all the teeny tiny numbered pages and take you to...
Is there any other deficit spending you wish to share any information with us on?
No, it's the same information that you've seen previously. Before. So any deficit spending is deliberate and we're mindful of it. As we've discussed previously, you know that our funding has changed and we are not funded for some of our programs. And we're transitioning to fee-for-service for some of our programs. And as you know and we point out, we very conservatively budget for the revenue on those contracted services. So as it's shown in there, it's a very conservative measure for our revenue until we have those contracts signed. But in the meantime, this is the worst-case scenario of how the deficit spending should play out. So there's no concerns there. It's deliberate, and we're very mindful of how we've projected, and very conservatively.
As you go through this, we're going to see quite a few of the columns, especially under employee benefits, have taken some fairly large jumps. Is that because of the new state requirements that districts have to pay more into that system?
It's mostly due more to just the escalating cost of health benefits. Not as the Affordable Care Act, maybe, is what you're referring to, not as a big factor.
Yes, our health insurance, what's included in this budget, is costing us $1 million more than it did previously. In addition to what you pointed out, I believe, is the increase in our pension cost that we pay to PERS and STRS. Okay, so all of the detail is included. Again, it's teeny tiny numbers. It's just the detail behind the general fund. The other funds included are all the funds that we've seen previously, the money that we passed through the SELPA to the school districts, and all of our funds with all of the different numbers associated. Unless you have questions, I'm going to take you all the way to page 81. This report actually starts on page 80, but there's no content on page 80 from us. Our County Office of Education attendance data starts on page 81. Our attendance, as you know, has been declining. So you will see that we projected an additional decline in our Corton Community Schools. Very slight, but still it's evident and it's there. And our special education, we've projected, at least in our budget, that it will be static, flat enrollment. However, we know that's not the case, and it will be growing. And you know that we are increasing the amount of classrooms that we're offering next year. However, in our conservative nature, we have estimated that the attendance is flat until we know those exact figures. So there's our projections.
Is the reason for the increase primarily because the local school districts are eliminating some of their special education programs, or why?
I happen to think a lot of it has to do with the quality of programs that we run, and districts are trusting our services. I could turn it over to Emily and Mary, but we've seen a rather sharp increase in referrals just in the last month for programs that have been operating at or near capacity already. So it's not a new program that we're offering, and it's not one that they're particularly canceling. We're just getting more referrals.
Yeah, I think that is true, the trust of the county office, but also there has been about a 26% increase in students that have moderate to severe disabilities in the state of California. So that has been a reason for additional referrals also, because the districts may not be operating those programs in district, and therefore they refer.
And I would just share, and we actually are matching right about that. We're seeing an increase of about 24% in number of referrals from last year to this year.
And this is a statewide increase?
Well, the number of students with moderate to severe disabilities, yes.
And then 24% is for within our county.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The next report I'm going to point out is on page 83. This is actually the certification page. So next week, when we actually approve or adopt the budget and the board takes action, this is the page that we certify that action. And it also is certifying our criteria and standards review summary. So it shows all of the detailed aspects about the criteria and standards deviations of having met a 5% increase or a 5% swing one way or the other, whatever the criteria is, in all of these pages of things that they look at in comparison prior years to what we're projecting in the future. Lots of ways to slice and dice the data to analyze the fiscal solvency of an entity, and it's all laid out on the ones that we are meeting or not meeting. Any item that we're not meeting the criteria or the standard deviation on the change in figures is either due to our declining enrollment, the shift in the way in which the funding is coming to us, we're building in fees for services instead of getting direct state revenue for some of the programs, and so you'll see those changes reflected. In my opinion, there's no concern for any issues here. As you know, when the state changed the funding formula, we have changed the way that we are operating, and we continue to do that as we move forward. Another page I want to point out, if you don't have any questions there, is on our multi-year projection, starting on page 89. Again, this is another way of looking at the data, taking it from the next fiscal year, 15-16, and the subsequent two fiscal years, our projections. And again, we can budget very conservatively. And as you see, this first page, 89, at the very top, tiny little writing shows that it's just our unrestricted budget. And as you can tell, we're keeping in line. We're not projecting deficit spending. And the first time we are is in 16-17. Very minor amount, a negative $193,000. And as you know, that's because we're very conservative in our revenue projections. We're not counting those contracted revenues from our customers until we have those signed contracts. So under the worst case scenario, we receive no additional revenue from our customers. That's what it would look like. And if that were the case at that point in time, we would reduce expenditures to align to that those revenue levels. Same case in 17-18. You'll see another deficit there. Should that be the case, that the revenue plays out that way, of course we would deal with the expenditure side. So that's our projections for unrestricted. Moving on the next page, our projections starting on page 91 for restricted funds. Here you will see kind of the opposite scenario. We are continuing our deficit spending, and that is deliberate. We're not holding funds just to hold them. We want to spend them on the students for which they are intended for. So we are deliberately doing that. And you will see in the third year out, we have spent the fund balance for restricted programs down in the very far right corner to $2.4 million. Okay, and then the following page, 93, is just the combination of both unrestricted and restricted. It really tells you a story when you pull apart the restricted programs from the unrestricted. But in total, even after that deficit spending, you can see down in the, again, that very same number, far right corner at the end of 17-18, we will still have $16 million in our general fund, which is adequate, in my opinion, as far as having cash on hand, adequate to respond to any economic crisis should another one arise.
And it will.
And there's nothing else I wanted to point out. There's still lots of pages. This goes through all of the different criteria and the figures of looking at it, the numbers in different ways. So if you have a question, I'd be happy to answer.
Ms. Key, if I might add to your comments, particularly the references to conservative budgeting. That is a hallmark of our office, and I know that
each and every one of the members of the board understand and have seen that each and every year these projections do not turn out to be true. They turn out to be substantially more positive. And I believe that would be our expectation again this year.
On page 84, just do an example there, just so I'm sure I understand it totally. Under criterion standards at the top, item 3, again, salaries and benefits, it says not met. Give us a little scenario of what that means in regards to salary and benefits and how that might affect our employees or this board from a budgeting standpoint.
Okay, I'm going to go to that section just so that I can answer specifically. The criterion number 3 appears on page 105. This is where you will actually see the formula that is played out to answer that particular question. So it starts off by showing you that the deviation they're looking for is a swing of 5% one way or the other, either less or more. And what they're showing is that in our budget year 15-16, we have increased our salary by 9.34%, which of course is larger than 5, and so we're having to explain that. There are lots of reasons for that, one of which is our increase in special education. We are opening 6-7 classrooms, so what's reflected in here is the teacher's salaries, the support staff, the paraeducators, everything to go along with those additional classrooms. We also have in here the additional career education grant that is larger than in 14-15. So again, an increase on salaries and benefits. The health insurance that we pointed out previously is $1 million more than it was last year. That is included. And the STIRS and PERS increase as well. So overall, with those that combination of just in general adding it in, just the change in the year, 9% more than what we were spending last year, they wanted us to explain it.
Any other questions or staff? Mr. Bates?
No.
I thought you were raising your hand with a question. All right, I believe that was only a discussion item. Information discussion, it was.
So now be the time.
We're going to do a public hearing.
And I would ask, we're going to let the record reflect a little more circumspection with regard to the time. With item L1A, the public hearing was opened at 6:54 and closed at 6:55, so it would be appropriate to open this public hearing at 7:10, and if there is no input, to close at 7:11.
Opening at 7:10, any input?
From the public.
We got to wait a minute. 7-Eleven.
Thank you,
Mr. Manfield. I didn't expect Nancy to put my comment in the record. Thank you for the correction of that. All right, we're on to our last item here, board member comments, and then we'll get on to future agenda items. Dr. Lucidore?
Comments?
Dr. Ford?
None.
Bates?
Only that because of our budget study sessions, it makes this session so much easier.
Especially this year with all these changes, staff having to go through with the changes out of the state, it's got to be a zoo when you look at all the different categories and ed funds. I have no comments either. Future agenda items, we have 3 items on deck, so we'll just let staff deal with those. I do have one item I'm going to throw out. I mentioned it to Mr. Rice, but I know he's been so busy with all this budget stuff. It certainly wasn't, I wouldn't expect it to rise to the top of his priority list. It was something I asked him to talk to Stan about, and perhaps we can agendize this. We've got this wonderful presentation room here, and we have parent groups here, we have teacher groups here, and everybody. And I look around this room, and all I see is empty walls. Why aren't we promoting some of what we do education-wise at our county facilities on the walls here? So guests are here, people are here to get a chance to see some of the great stuff that's going on at the county office. Food for thought.
Is he going to keep?
Yes.
If I may add one other item for Fitching City.
Please.
We can talk the details. I was approached by a candidate for the CSBA Director-at-Large County. Heidi Weiland, who was a former president of CCBE, and she was asking if this board would consider writing a letter of support for her candidacy to the Director-at-Large County for CSBA.
And who is this lady?
Heidi Weiland. She is immediate past president of CCBE, former president of CCBE, board member at the El Dorado County Board of Education.
So obviously she could hit the road running.
She very much could. And again, we spoke at length. I don't know if this is appropriate to bring it up here now, but supply was a little bit agendized. So I can give some more background on her qualifications.
Will we have enough time if we agendize it now? If the board decides to do the letter, will we have time to get it for her?
That was part of the consideration because I think she moved to meet the level for the July deadline.
Anything else?
Is there specific information, written information of any kind?
Why don't you coordinate that?
All right, very productive meeting. Thank you, and staff. Great effort on all this.
Thank you, guys.
Believe us, we do go through this and pour through it. Mm-hmm. You might think it's mundane to us, but numbers are sort of what this is all about. So we let you take care of the education, and we look at the numbers. So, again, thank you very much. At this time, we have a future meeting on Monday, June 22nd, and Monday, July 27th, and we'll adjourn at 7:14.